And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And believe me, my friends, prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It's just smashing every conception that man has that prophecy is not true. The Bible says that we can believe in a sure word of prophecy. A sure word of prophecy. Revelation is a wonderful book. And when I read the headlines today, they jump at me. They literally grab my head and rattle my brain and say, look at this. Well, I want to talk today about something that is amazing. The subject alone, given the history of the United States and Israel, well, really for over 100 years, even before 1948 when Israel became a state again, thanks solely to the efforts, well, not solely, but mostly to the efforts of President Harry S. Truman. Joseph Stalin, of course, cooperated. The communist empire and the capitalist empire worked together, and within minutes, both the Kremlin in Moscow and in Washington, D.C., the White House, recognized Israel as a state. That was in 1948. If it weren't for that, the commies and the cappies working together, they'd have never had a nation to see the light of day. Now, it's very clear when we, you know, as I showed in my book, my newest book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, that Israel is only a tiny nation in the United States. Somewhere around 2.5% of the population are Jews. In the whole world, it's way less than 1%. In fact, demographers, that's the people that look at population statistics and race and ethnic composition and so forth, say that Jews make up only about 18 or 19 million people in the whole world. There's more people in the state of Texas alone or the state of California than there is in the whole world when we look for Jews. Now, nevertheless, the exceeding great power of this small band of people is huge. It's immense. And it brings to pass what Daniel said, the prophet Daniel in the Bible. He said that the king of the last days, the beast, he will come into his kingdom through the efforts of a small band of people. It won't be the most populous nation in the world. That would be China. Next, after China, of course, would be India. But Daniel says he comes to power with a small band of people. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, I can talk about this, and I have. If you want our audio tape or CD resources on why I am convinced, why I know that Israel is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation 17, the woman who rides the great beast, I will be glad to provide that to you. You can order those. You can also get my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and you will understand then because I provide so much documentation. But let me say that there's a very interesting verse, or a couple of verses in Revelation 17 that are often overlooked. Because this great name written on the forehead of the woman, the whore of Babylon, and she's drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And even the apostle John, when he saw her in his vision, says he wondered with great admiration. What a marvel. What an incredible thing was this woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. This beautiful, voluptuous whore of Babylon, drunken with the blood of saints and the martyrs of Jesus. But she rode a great beast that carried her. You see, the woman did not necessarily have great strength in and of herself, but she directed the beast, and the beast was carrying her. Who carries Israel today? The United States. Who votes for her, yes or no, in diplomatic circles and in the United Nations? The United States. Who has recognized Israel as a nation again and made her great, as small as she is? The United States. Who has given her armaments, even nuclear bombs? The United States. Who has fought and bled and shed tons of blood of its young men and women for Israel? That would be the United States. We're today fighting wars in the Middle East. Who for? Israel. We are the beast. And believe me, we're the world's only true superpower. Oh, there are others struggling to compete with us. China, Russia. But we're it, folks. Now, the interesting thing is that Israel also has the power through its Jewish networking, through its blood conspiracy, through Wall Street, through the city, which is the equivalent of Wall Street in London, and so forth. So that Israel controls the whole of Western civilization. But frankly, Israel does have opposed to it a coalition of some 50, some say 54, some say 55, it depends, Muslim nations. Some are in the tank for Israel. Saudi Arabia and some of the Arab Sheikh republics in the Gulf certainly are big kiss-ups to Israel. But then others like Iran, the Persian nation, and Syria are not. Then there's Pakistan, which we're now bombing regularly with our drones. It too has the potential to be a power, as does Turkey, another Islamic nation. But America has soured its relations with all of these 50-plus Muslim nations in order to get into bed. We're strange bed partners with the Jews. Even though the Jews in their religion despise and hate our Lord Jesus and despise Christianity and Christians, nevertheless, because of their deceit and propaganda, they have even lulled and deceived a Christian nation, supposedly, which shows our maybe lack of Christianity here in the United States. And Israel has gotten millions of evangelical Christians to clamor for them, to give anything that Israel wants. They're made to believe that if we bless Israel, God will bless us. No matter how vile and vicious and belligerent and bloody and thuggish Israel is, these stupid, devil-led Christian evangelicals say, it's okay. It's Israel. Any other nation does that, it wouldn't be okay. But Israel, we love you. We'll do anything for you. We'll bow down and kiss your boots. And God will bless us, they imagine. Which leads me to the statement in the New Testament that they will kill you and think they do God's service. American Christians are now daily killing hundreds, sometimes thousands, of Arabs and Muslims. And we think we're doing it for God, to do God a service. Rather than preaching to the Muslims, rather than loving them into the kingdom, rather than telling them the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we say, kill, kill. Why? Because our Jewish masters say, do it for us. Hate your Arabs. Hate the Muslims. Do it for the Jews. We're God's chosen people. You must do it for us. Now, the most fascinating thing, though, about Bible prophecy, and remember, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the very spirit of prophecy. Oh, yes. is that this great beast that the whore of Babylon, which is Israel, rides, the United States and its coalition of allies in Europe and elsewhere, does whatever the woman tells it. She rides it. She's in control. But not forever. There will come a time when the beast suddenly turns on the whore, turns on the woman. Now listen to this. In chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, it talks about how powerful the kingdom of the beast is, and that there are other kings, we can call them prime ministers, chancellors, presidents, and all of them also have one mind, and they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast, the United States of America, has its strength and power when all the other nations come together in coalition with it. And then riding the beast, telling it what to do, where to go, who to kill, who to slay, is Israel, the woman. But then something happens. Listen to this. Suddenly, the beast begins to hate the whore. They must have been friendly before. You might say they were bed partners together. The whore was carried by the beast. But it says that even the 10 horns which the beast has, that's the other nation kingdoms, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The beast and its kingdoms, that is the United States and its coalition partners, get tired, sick and tired and disgusted and angry and begin to hate the woman whom they have carried all this time. They shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh. That means her people. They're going to be eaten up. And burn her with fire. Israel's going to be in big trouble. There is coming a time when the United States and all of our allies turn on Israel. We're sick and tired of you, you tyrannical, monstrous whore. Get off our backs and we're going to make you naked. We're going to rip your clothes off. We're going to rape and pillage, make you desolate, eat your flesh and burn you with fire. Destruction. Destruction. And thus the Bible says that Mystery Babylon is destined to fall. Two great falls, the Bible ordains. Mystery Babylon is fallen. It fell when the Romans came in, 70 AD. And certainly ate them alive, didn't they? Burned the whole city down, tore down the temple. I mean, brutalized and killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, took them captive and said, your nation is gone. Mystery Babylon fell in 70 AD to the Roman centurions and the Roman general Titus, who later became the Caesar of the great Roman Empire. But it rose from the dead, did it not? That's right. The woman, the whore, rose again. The wound was healed. She rose. And by 1948, she began to be supreme again, so much so that she was riding the beast and all the other nations. But they're going to turn her on her again, just like the Romans did. The Jews always go too far. They're possessed just like Judas was by the devil, and they'll go too far. And the whole world will be sick of it. The Apostle Paul said that the Jews and the physical nation of Israel, the house of Israel, are contrary to all men. They oppose all people, and they're going to become hated for that. They're favored now. Even the Christians in America favor them and claim falsely that they're God's chosen. But that's going to change. Now, I believe that process has already begun to take place. I want to read to you this month's feature article in my newsletter that I've just written and published. It'll be out, let's say, 1 October. It's entitled, listen to this, folks, 16 U.S. Intelligence Agencies, the Pentagon, and U.S. President Barack Obama Tell Israel No. Say what? We're telling Israel no for a change? Since 1948, how many presidents have ever told Israel no? Now, folks, I want you to understand something. Regardless of the fact that the Republican Party has lied over and over and told you that Obama was a Muslim and that he hates Israel, that's pure nonsense. In fact, he was placed into power by the Jews. And I can name the family, and in my video, Rothschild's Choice, you'll see exactly who put him in power. In Chicago, the billionaire families, including Mr. Zelman, who owned the Chicago Tribune and the LA Times newspapers. There was the Crown family, the Pritzker family, and many others who made him a star. His first White House chief of staff was Rahm Emanuel, an Israeli citizen. His campaign manager, David Axelrod, a longtime Democratic Party Jewish operative. He was placed by communist Jews in power in the White House. And they made sure, they thought they would make sure that Obama did whatever they wanted. They gave him a chief of staff to watch over things. And so Obama became just a figurehead. His Obamacare medical plan was actually put together by a Jew named Ira Magaziner. And I've just written an article about that. The first lady, Michelle Obama, was not allowed to have a black woman to be her chief of staff. They put a Jewish woman in charge of her to watch over her schedule and to make sure her speeches were written very carefully so that she would follow the prescription that the Jews wanted for America. Even Vice President Joe Biden was given a chief of staff who was a Jew. The Jews ran the president, the first lady, and the vice president's office. But along about almost, 18 months or 2 years ago, I wrote an article which at the time people said that can't be. That must not be so. And what I said in my article, and you may remember it, I said Obama explodes at the Jews and says no. You see, he got tired of them controlling him, of being their little boy. They would, you know, he would have to bow down as a black man and kiss the feet of the Jews who were running the White House and say, please, Bwana, let me go out and play golf again today. He got tired of that. Michelle got tired of being controlled. And there was a little inner revolution in the White House. It ended up with Rahm Emanuel, the man who was so powerful that even Bill Clinton says, I'm scared of him. That's right. He was in the White House during the Bill Clinton era, watching over Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton said of Rahm Emanuel, I'm scared of him. Well, Obama said, you're fired. Of course, they gave him a nice, hot, well-paying, fat cat job as mayor of Chicago. But that's not the same as running the whole world by being White House chief of staff and telling the president what to do. Rahm Emanuel got demoted. And Obama then brought in, made sure he had his black attorney general, Eric Holder. You're always protected if you got your own attorney general. And he made sure a black man was there. Then he brought in his own advisor. You see, David Axelrod, the Jew, had been his chief political advisor. And he demoted for them and brought in a black woman named Valerie Jarrett from Chicago. And she has now been the number one advisor in the White House to Obama. The blacks overthrew the Jews in the White House. But Obama assured the Jews, you know, Senator Charles Schumer and all the other Jewish neocons, don't worry, I'm still going to do whatever you tell me to do. I just didn't like, you know, somebody looking over my shoulder. I didn't like to be minutely followed around and told what to do. I just wanted some independence. It's not really a full-scale revolution of the blackies against the Jews. But Obama had plans. He's always despised white people. We know that from his autobiographies, you know, Dreams of My Father and the other one that he wrote. He seethes with anger and vitriol against white people, even though his own grandparents raised him and his mother was white. Still, he looks in the mirror and says, I'm a black man. I hate and I despise white people. You know that. You know that Barack Obama is a racist. He's always been a racist. Read his own autobiographies. He must have despised being told what to do and led around by piano wire around his neck by the Jews. And Obama said, no more. I'm not going to take it. I'm a proud black man. My father was a leader in Kenya. I was born in Kenya. We Kenyans don't go for this stuff. He has schemed these 4 years against the Jews, Obama has. And he's placed in positions of authority and responsibility people that would do what he wants to do. The Jews would come in and say, here, nominate this man for this job. Here, give this person, this judge, this job. Sometimes Obama did it. Other times he shocked them by saying no. They couldn't believe the black man. I mean, the Jews hate all Gentiles. And in the Talmud, they especially hate the black people. The Talmud is the most racist, divisive book I've ever read, practically. You ought to see what it says about black people. They're the worst of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are cattle, but black people are less than insects and bugs, according to the Talmud. Oh, yeah, it talks about the black people of the Talmud. Don't you know the Jews despise having to take orders from Obama? They put him in there to be their little slave boy. Suddenly he's starting to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, you know, Joseph Stalin did that over in the Soviet Union. First he told the Jews, oh, yes, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. They had a guy as his deputy, Lazar Kaganovich, that told him what to do, a Jew. But Stalin cleverly put his own little people head of this province, head of that province, this guy in the KGB, that person in as the head of the military. Pretty soon, there were Russian non-Jews that had all the important positions. It took Stalin, you know, about 10 years or so, 12 years to do it after Lenin had died. And then suddenly, about 1935, 36, Stalin had all the power he wanted. And he turned to the Jews and said, you know what? I've been taking orders from you guys since we grabbed the hair of the Russian Empire in 1917. It's time you take orders from me. And they said, we're not going to do that. We're Jews. We're the ones who run the communist world. And Stalin says, let me tell you what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to put you in the gulags. I'm going to take all the Jews in the Soviet Union and put them in the gulags. You've been running the gulags. From now on, you're going to be a prisoner there. And that was on the drawing boards. And that's why they had to kill him. And that's why they assassinated Joseph Stalin. Now we have in the United States, here as we near the last days, the whore, Israel, riding the beast, the United States. But the beast has a new president that's put in office by the whore. But he's turning against the whore. And he says, I don't care about you, you drunken whore. I am a black man. I'm the president. And he's been slowly replacing people in intelligence agencies. And even at the Pentagon, he's been putting his own people in, including his own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, an Irishman named Martin Dempsey, an Army general. And you know what? He and Dempsey, I bet they've been having some very secret private meetings together. And now Dempsey has told the Jews and Israel no. And Eric Holder, as Attorney General, has told the Jews no. And the Jews are furious. The neocons in America, they can't take it. They're angry. Netanyahu is furious. And I'm going to prove that to you in a moment. But first, I want you to understand, Obama, you can say what you want to. A Jew writer just wrote a book, and the New York Times and everybody is pushing it. It's called The Amateur. It says that Barack Obama is an amateur. He shouldn't be reelected. Did you know the New York Times actually had a big article out suggesting that Obama should not be reelected? That's incredible. They've always supported the Democratic candidate for president. Newsweek, also owned by the Jews, had Barack Obama on the cover just a few weeks ago. And guess what it said? It has a picture of Obama and the headlines on the front cover of Newsweek says, "Hit the road, Barack. Why we need a new president. The Jews have turned against him now. They know he's dangerous. If he gets his second term, then he'll never have to run for election again. He won't need them. He won't need the Jewish billionaires and their money. He won't need the controlled mainstream media run by the Jews with all its propaganda. He'll be his own man in the White House, a black African man. And believe me, he will purge and scourge the Jews from office. Just like Jesus took his whip and beat the money changers and drove them out of the temple, I believe Barack Obama, if he has the ability to do it, if he's reelected as president, will take the whip and drive the money changers out of the temple at 1700 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the White House. He's going to whip them. He's had to say, okay, yes, Bwana. Yes, Master. Yes, Massa. Whatever you want, but no more. In a way, I admire the man. Some people say, what? Yeah, I know he's an abortionist. I know he hates me because I'm a white person. And he hates you too. No matter how much he smiles. No matter how much he looks like a likable guy. He's a racist. But I have to admire the guy. What a schemer. What a planner. What a duplicitous guy. You have to, even John, the Apostle John, had the great woman in admiration. He marveled in admiration. Wow. How was she able to do all that? Obama has all the power of the beast. And the Jews made him a star. They made him almost a Messiah. They even gave him the Nobel Peace Prize when he hadn't done anything for peace. And now suddenly he's turning on them. You know, that's the way the devil does. You put two devil people, in high places of authority, they'll turn on each other. Even the Jews, if the Jews were left alone and were unable to leave the nation of Israel, just put a Berlin Wall all the way around Israel and hem the Jews in and say you can do whatever you want to in your own nation, they'd end up eating each other alive. That's the way thieves do. That's the way bad people do things. They turn on each other. Mafia killing each other and so forth in the streets of New York and Chicago back in the 30s all the way to the 50s. Now, when we return in a minute, I want to talk to you about this new report. And I believe it was masterminded by General Dempsey, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Barack Obama. 16 U.S. intelligence agencies, every one of them, have turned against Israel. And what is their unanimous consensus? Dump Israel. If necessary, do away with it entirely. Israel may just vanish from the league or the list, the roster of world nations, if these 16 intelligence agencies and the Pentagon and the White House have its way. I wonder, is the beast now turning against the whore? Will he burn her with fire and eat her flesh? Is Israel in big trouble today because of all of its evil doing and its wicked behavior? Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. If you don't have my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, please order it today. Then you'll understand what's really going on in the world. You're not going to understand it from the headlines in your local newspaper or CBS, ABC. Fox News doesn't give you the truth. This is the most astonishing book that you will ever read. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's a big book, almost an encyclopedic book. The inside story on the Rothschilds, Israel, the Jews, Judaism. You'll find out about their complicity in terrorism, murders, wars, Wall Street. You'll find out about their horrible, bloody activities. Their relations with presidents, from President Nixon, Vice President Spiro Agnew. Oh, what a warrior he was against the Jewish monsters. Then, of course, there was John F. Kennedy, who was murdered by the Israeli Mossad working with the, strange FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, who was known to dress up in women's clothes quite a bit as a transvestite. This book has inside information. You'll find out that Harry Truman actually took a bribe, a money bribe from the Jews to recognize Israel. But later, when he saw how evil and dastardly wicked the Jews in America were, he turned against them because he also realized that they were communists to the core and that they hated America. Even the Jews who were born in America did not love this country. And even Truman turned against them. It cost him the presidency. It cost him a lot, but he turned against them. There's so much in this book, you will just not believe the evidence in this book. Now, also talk about the Jewish Talmud. You'll learn what the Holy Book of the Jews really says, how it blasphemes our Lord Jesus, and how it shows its hatred of Christianity. You'll discover the serpent, yes, the serpent who is the Messiah of the Jews. That can't be true, can it? Surely Tex Mars must be an anti-Semite, or he wouldn't write such things. Well, folks, why don't you judge for yourself? Why don't you get my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? Never has a book like this ever been published. It's large format, 432 pages, which is the equivalent of probably 800 pages in a regular book. Huge book. $25 for the book, $5 for shipping and handling, only $30. $30 for the book. To get Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and by the way, you'll also discover the occult, the ancient occult meaning of the symbol itself, the so-called Jewish Star of David, that of course David, the king, never used as his shield or symbol. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, total of $30, that's postpaid, we'll take care of all the shipping. Just send $30 and ask for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Send it to Tex Mars or to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go on our webpage, powerofprophecy.com, order the book, and you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, our address, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. For the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If you want today's program, a audio tape or a CD, specify which one. You can get that for $8. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $13 for today's program, which is entitled 16 U.S. Intelligence Agencies, the Pentagon, and the U.S. President Barack Obama Tell Israel No. Now let's return to our regular program. And that is, in fact, what we're talking about today. A new report, 82 pages in length, unequaled, unprecedented, all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. Now, this is according to the authoritative journal called the Foreign Policy Journal. All 16 U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA, that is the Central Intelligence Agency, the DI, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Naval Intelligence Service, the National Security Agency, Homeland Security Department, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, the National Reconnaissance Office, all of these agencies, the chiefs of them concurred, that means agreed together, and put out a joint report. Folks, they don't do that. I mean, it has to be big for all 16 to come together and their analysts, their top people to conclude something. And what they concluded is unbelievable. It is unprecedented. What do they say in this amazing 82-page report entitled, get this, Preparing for a Post-Israel Middle East. Means a Middle East after Israel. Post-Israel. Preparing, in other words, for a new Middle East without the belligerent, aggressive, criminal nation that we know of as Israel even existing. Maybe Ahmadinejad, he really never said, I want to wipe out Israel. He's been accused of that 1,000 times by Jews and neocons, but he never said it. He said the regime will be ended. The Israeli regime as it is, said Ahmadinejad, will be done away with. He never said we're going to do it or we're going to attack or we're going to bury Israel. He just says the regime will go away, will vanish. Well, now the United States and 16 intelligence agencies, obviously with the concurrence of the United States President, Barack Obama, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, the Army General, all agree that the regime in Israel must go. And thus, I want to give you a few headlines here recently. Don't think this is not, this report has not been read. Right now, it's in draft form. It's being sent to the important people, chair people of the congressional committees, you know, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee of the House, and so forth. And the White House has a copy, and so forth. And believe me, the Sayanim, that's the Israeli spies, you know, like Senator John McCain, Congresswoman Rose Latinen, who is a Jew from Florida, who's head of the House Things Foreign Affairs Committee. All of these Sayanim, certainly Lindsey Graham, senator from, was it North Carolina? Is it South Carolina? One of the Carolinas, excuse me. My mind's a little bit slack on that point. South Carolina, yeah. And these Sayanim, as I call them, these Israeli covert agents, John McCain, Senator Lieberman, and so forth, they obtain copies of this, and they've given it to the Israelis. Israeli spies get everything. And man, is Netanyahu furious. In fact, a U.S. congressman reported in just today's newspaper that he was present. He was present in the office when Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, called the American ambassador to his office and really just chewed him alive. The congressman said, I was amazed. He says he's never seen anything like it. Netanyahu blew his top, was furious. He thinks he can tell America what to do. He calls in the American ambassador and in the presence of an American congressman attacks America. Attacks our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But let's talk about that chairman, Martin Dempsey, heroic man. He also visited Tel Aviv recently. And he went into the offices of the Israeli Prime Minister, Netanyahu. And Netanyahu starts screaming and hollering at him, I understand. And says, America will attack Iran. You will help us destroy our enemy. And Dempsey said, if you want to attack Iran, go ahead. We're not going to help you. Well, that's the problem. Israel can't defeat Iran on its own. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret that the American media have not told you. The last two times Israel's military forces attacked southern Lebanon, the Lebanese, as desperate as they are, their guerrilla forces, they're called Hezbollah. Now, think about this. They have no tanks. They have no airplanes. They have no gunship helicopters. They don't have all this modern weaponry. But one thing they did have was courage. And a second thing they had was handheld, shoulder-assisted firing guns. You know, like in the old days we call them bazookas. Well, now they shoot rockets. And they're accurate. And they come from Syria. And they originally came from the Soviet Union. And Syria obtained them. the nation of Syria. You can see why Israel hates Syria so much and why now NATO and the United States and Israel have paid all these thug Al-Qaeda terrorists to go in and start massacring the Syrian people and blame it on Assad, the president there, which is a big lie. He's not killing his own people. We're killing the Syrians, trying to overthrow Syria because Syria armed the Hezbollah guerrillas. And guess what? Israel had its back end kicked. That's about as nice a way as I can put it. The Israeli army left licking its wounds and got out of there as fast as they could. They were losing helicopters. They were losing, you know, the Hummer Vs. They were losing their armored vehicles. Their tanks were being blown to pieces by these, you know, these missiles being fired from the shoulder by these Hezbollah guerrillas, not terrorists. They were defending their own nation, Lebanon, against the vicious attacks of the Israelis. Now, if it had not been for the Americans, here's what people don't know. We brought in our carrier forces in the Mediterranean there and our airplanes. All this was bottled up. All this is secret. We went in and we attacked day and night, and that allowed the Israelis to what they call disengage. What it really means is to turn tail and run as fast as they could. They got beaten by the Hezbollah. The brave, courageous Israeli forces turned tail and ran for cover. They were defeated by the guerrillas. And I'll tell you, there was a big cleaning up after that. Israeli generals and colonels got fired. People got court-martialed. The Jews couldn't believe that they had lost to the Lebanese Hezbollah. How could that happen? You can imagine if there was a major war, and as far away as Iran is, if it really does manage to send its cruise missiles and others and its aircraft, and they smash up Israel. And what happens if the Hezbollah, rather than defending themselves in Lebanon, actually attack in Israel? You see, what I think is going to happen is the Israeli troops will throw down their guns and run like a bunch of scared rabbits. In the past, they've always needed the American help. You may not remember it. You may not want to read world history books enough, my friends. But at one time, the Egyptians had them cornered. That was in, 1973. And they were about to totally destroy the Israeli armed forces under Prime Minister Golda Meir. And Kissinger, a Jew, head of national security under President Nixon, and Nixon agreed to bring in our huge C-5A aircraft. And these C-5A aircraft landed one after another in Israel. And out of them, out of their bowels of these giant C-5A cargo planes, came tanks and armored vehicles and helicopters and all kinds of things. And if it weren't for the United States sending in all these arms over a couple week period, the forces of Israel would have been totally decimated and destroyed. And the Egyptian army would be sitting in Tel Aviv today. It's America that saved Israel. It's not some kind of a godly force that watches over Israel. It's America. It's the devil's nation, America, the nation that's responsible for 50 million babies being murdered through abortion. That's right. You say, wow, you're talking about America being a devil nation. Haven't you ever tuned in to television stations and see what we're seeing? The devil shows? Haven't you ever looked at what Hollywood American Jews are putting out? And you don't think this is a devil nation? There's more liquor and more pornographic movies sold in America than all the rest of the world combined, friends. There's more drugs here. Why do you think we got the drug problem? People are buying drugs like it's water. Friends, we use more methamphetamine and heroin and cocaine than all the rest of the world combined. This is a devil nation. You say, but there's so many Christians here. You think so? Even Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he even find faith on planet Earth? You think he's going to find it in America? The days of the missionaries being sent from America are gone. The days of churches that preached against sin and warned people are gone. You know that. Now they tell you can be rich. God wants you to be a rich person. Do whatever you want. Shack up. God will overlook it. You can be a deacon of a church and be shacking up with a mistress. Nobody cares anymore. You can go watch XXX movies and laugh and brag to your friends on Sunday morning at church. Nobody cares anymore. You know that. I know that. Come on. Let's go back to this, what I was telling you here. Dempsey being attacked in the offices of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, verbally that is. And Netanyahu said, if you don't attack Iran, we, Israel, will do it by ourselves. Here's what Dempsey said, and I want to quote it. This is from VeteransToday.com, but it was in other newspapers, publications. He said, quote, I may not know, this is the general back to Netanyahu, I may not know about all of Israel's capabilities. Well, actually, that wasn't true. He knew about all of them. But I think it's a fair characterization to say that you can delay Iran obtaining nuclear weapons, but you will not destroy Iran's nuclear capabilities. In other words, you don't have the military forces to do it. And the fact is, Netanyahu knows that Israel can't attack anyone without America doing the fighting. Why do you think we attacked Iraq for Israel? Saddam Hussein would have eaten their lunch. The Jews are cowards. Did you know the Orthodox Jews refuse to serve in the military? The ones that despise our Savior, Lord Jesus, the most, that call Jesus a bastard and his mother Mary a whore, they refuse to serve. They're conscience objectors. Well, we have to study the Talmud, our holy book. We cannot afford to spend the time to serve in our armed forces. You're hearing me right. It's the secular Jews that serve in their military forces. The Orthodox religious Jews don't even wear a uniform. They refuse to serve. They're a bunch of cowards. They're just like Bill Clinton was. And Dick, whatever his name, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. They're all a bunch of draft dodgers. And that's what they have over in Israel, a bunch of draft dodgers among the Orthodox Jews. What Israel knows is that without the United States, they're in deep trouble, friends. They have no, even they can have all the Jane's, all the world's aircraft, authoritative source, says they have the world's fourth largest air force. Yeah, sure. They have the fifth largest navy in the world. They've got 100 nuclear bombs. But they may be destroyed before they ever get off the ground by the Iranians. Without United States help, Israel is toast. They couldn't even lick the Hezbollah guerrillas up in Lebanon, and they had to turn tail and run. And yet they go to churches, these Jews do, these rabbis say, God has been with us. Romney goes over to Israel, says, the hand of providence has been over Israel. It's called the wet, clammy, money-filled ham hocks of the hand of the United States. That's what has saved Israel. And it's bacon, my friends, as much as they despise bacon, mean Jews. Back to our 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. This is what makes the Jews so mad and so frightened. This report, 82 pages, preparing for a post-Israel Middle East. Listen to what it is. This is what the analysis of this report by all of our intelligence agencies. First of all, it says Israel, given its current brutal occupation and belligerence, cannot be salvaged. The nation of Israel cannot be salvaged. It's gone. Folks, they're having riots and demonstrations by Jews against Jews. I mean, Jews that hate their own government brought forth guillotines and displayed them in the streets of Tel Aviv. Where did you ever read that in the New York Times? Did you see that on Fox News? I'm telling you, Jewish citizens constructed real, live, working guillotines and threatened their own government with them. What other nation are they doing that in the world? The report says that Israel is wickedly, quote, out of touch with the political, military, and economic realities of the Middle East. It says Israel, this report says that Israel consistently carries out spy activities against the United States. And that Israel is the number one threat to the national security of the United States, in all the world, 174 nations, Israel alone is the top threat to the national security of the United States. It says Israel's brutal and oppressive occupation of Palestine and its unarmed civilian population is illegal and immoral. Get that? Illegal and immoral. It says that America's financial and military support of Israel and its wars and occupation is, quote, neither sustainable nor desirable, and it conflicts with America's national interest. The report notes Israel's, quote, rampant and violent racism. It's bigotry against other nations and peoples. It says its occupation of Palestine constitutes genocidal conduct, and that is anathema to international law. In sum, friends, in summary, Israel is labeled by the 16 U.S. intelligence agencies as a rogue criminal state, unworthy and undeserving of U.S. financial and diplomatic support. Folks, the ripples of this report are being heard far and wide. And the Israel lobby, the ADL and the AIPAC and all the others, the American Jewish Committee, etc., they've got copies of these reports. You know they do. I know they do. And they're going wild. The report says that, listen to this, that Israel and the Zionists have more than 60 front organizations in America. Oh, boy. You know, friends, just 2 months ago, I wrote a feature article warning Americans about the Sionim, the spy organizations that work against American interests, the hatred of these people, spying against the United States, harming our country. And they include some who are not even Jews, like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Sarah Palin and so many more. This report, this isn't Tex Morris speaking. This is the 16 U.S. intelligence agencies concurring all together. They say, listen to this, that there are approximately, quote, 7,500 U.S. officials who do Israel's bidding. You remember back in the days when we began to uncover all the communist networks, Joseph McCarthy, Senator McCarthy of Wisconsin, we know was absolutely correct. There have been many books written now. After the Iron Curtain fell, the Soviet Union admitted, brought forth all its KGB archives. We found out that everything McCarthy said and did was correct. We need another Senator McCarthy, folks. We need these scavengers to be exposed. You can call it a witch hunt if you want to. You can call it a Jew hunt if you care about it. I don't care what you call it. I want these Sionim tracked down, hunted, discovered, exposed, outed, put on trial, and put in prison. I want John McCain put in prison. I want Nancy Pelosi put in prison. I want Joseph Lieberman put behind bars. I want Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Bill O'Reilly. I want them investigated. I want a committee to investigate an un-American, a new un-American activities committee. I want another Senator McCarthy to come forth. Maybe a Ron Paul who won't be frightened, who will not fear the Jews. He will not allow them to spout their venomous, warmongering, pro-Israeli propaganda. This Zionist fifth column spy front. The Zionists among us are our enemies. The Israeli politicians and chief rabbis and the Zionist neocons in America. That's what they are, neocons. One of them was even called the Prince of Darkness in some press reports. He's an American who's been secretly pulling the strings of America's foreign policy all these years. We need to get rid of these. Cut those strings. They don't want Americans to read this report. Now, let me tell you, that's why Mitt Romney was called over to Israel. They're furious over there. They're frightened. They're angry. And if we don't watch very carefully, they will assassinate. They will assassinate our president, Barack Obama. Now, look, I didn't vote for Barack Obama. And I'm not going to vote for him this time. And I'm not going to vote for Mitt Romney either. They're two peas in a pod, my friends. They're both anti-American. One's a communist and one is a capitalist butcher. I don't want either one of them for president. But I want you to understand something. Whoever the Americans vote for, even if they do so in their gullibility and stupidity, he is president. And we're not going to allow some foreign nation over the Middle East to assassinate our president. No, no. Did you hear what I just said? If you, friends, allow Israel and its Mossad and its CIA agents to assassinate this president, you deserve every bad thing that happens to you after that. And believe me, I'm putting out a report now very soon. I'm going to expose Mitt Romney, who has been a Zionist agent since he was a teenager. His father was one. The whole Mormon church is a Judaic cult. It's a cult. It's a Judaic cult. And Mitt Romney comes, sure, he comes out swinging for Israel. And in his acceptance speech of the Republican National Committee, he talked about Barack Obama throwing Israel under the bus. Let me tell you something. If God wills it, and he just might, it may end up with Barack Obama throwing Israel under the bus for sure. And he should. This is a dangerous, rogue, criminal, immoral, unethical nation, Israel. And that's what preparing for a post-Israel Middle East report says. Now, Mitt Romney flew to Israel just a few weeks ago. Right in the midst of the campaign, he took time to fly there. And he met with all of their top agents and all of their people. He met with the Masonic Lodge leaders. I know that for a fact. And with Netanyahu. And he has promised them some things. Mitt Romney says, if you will use the mainstream media to destroy Obama, if you will get all the Jewish billionaires to give me money rather than Obama, then I will back Israel. And I will be its leader. Mitt Romney has chosen Israel over the United States. He will kill this report. It will never get from the draft. It will be killed. On January 20th, when he's inaugurated, Mitt Romney will kill this report. He will shower Israel with tens of billions of dollars in aid money, not to be repaid. He will give them all of our newest high-tech weapon systems. He will invade Iran. He will attack Iran with U.S. troops, probably with nuclear bombs. And there will be a World War III with Red China, with Russia, with all the other nations involved. There will be tens of millions of people perished. I'm telling you, Mitt Romney will bring tragedy to the whole world, because he is a member of a Judaic cult, the Mormon church, and he has already promised the Jews, back me, and I will be president of Israel. He said it in his debate. When he's elected president, the first thing he will do is fly to Israel and ask, what can I do for you? He said it himself. Believe what he said. America will be a Zionist Leviathan hell on steroids if Romney is elected president. It's a terrible thing, my friend. But we may be more safe under Barack Obama as president for four more years. As much as I don't like Obamacare, as much as I'm fearful of America being transformed into a communist state, it will become something even worse under Mitt Romney. What do we do? A two-headed monster. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've exposed Israel. We've shown you what 16 intelligence agencies, our president, our chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, are telling us about this rogue criminal state. Will you believe it? What will you do about it? Until next week, friends, my prayer is that you will tune in and discover the power of prophecy.